चिंतामणी प्रकट सत्मसुकाप वृक्षा लक्षावित सुषुरवीर विपाल जंता लक्ष्मी सहर्षत संभव सेव्यमाना गोविंद नदी पुरुषंत महावय
श्रीलादित माधव Act 5, The Attainment of Chandravalayi. Purnamasi enters and speaks. Many kings, their hearts polluted with the great sin of speaking hundreds of lies about Lord Krishna, now have defiled Vidarbha city, which is larger than Mount Kailash, by pitching their tents around it. A voice from behind the scenes says, As long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love for Krishna, which is the perfected medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of material perfection known as the cities, the brahminical perfections, satcha, sama, tatiksha, and so on, the trance of the yogis, and the monistic bliss of Brahman, all seem wonderful for men. Purnamasi, speaking with joy, says, Ah! Expert in chanting Lord Krishna's glories, his hand holding a veena, his matted hair reaching down to his shoulders, and his complexion splendid as the autumn moon, here is Devarshi Narada. Narada Muni enters. Purnamasi speaks, Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Narada Muni says, May Lord Krishna bless you. Purnamasi says, Lord, I heard that Lord Krishna has left Mathura. Narada says, Yes, it is true. After arranging that an uncivilized king, Kalyavana, who was blessed by Lord Shiva that no resident of Mathura could kill him, be killed in a cave by fire from King Muchukunda's eyes, and after again and again thwarting wicked Jarasandha, with his friends and relatives, Lord Krishna went to the city of Dwarka on the hills by the ocean shore. Purnamasi says, Lord, now that my body is on fire as it approaches its death, I am very fortunate to see you. Narada Muni says, Child, Purnamasi is splendid in this moonlight. How splendid then is she in the company of Chandravali, who shines as the host of full moons. Purnamasi with tears says, Lord, millions of Chandravali's uncommonly ferocious enemies have come near. How can there be any talk of Purnamasi's splendor and opulence? Narada Muni says, Daughter, your friends are not small people. Why should you fear these enemies? Purnamasi says, Krishna completely abandoned her, and then her beautiful sister Radha died. How could one not be afraid? Narada Muni says, Does she still grieve for Radha? Purnamasi says, Yes, Rukmini is very affectionate to her relatives. Narada Muni says, Who gave her the name Rukmini? Purnamasi replies, Rukmi's father. Narada Muni, reflecting for a moment, says to himself, Are the girls of Dwarka city and the girls of Braja village not the same persons, although appearing in different forms? The girls of Braja were overwhelmed with love for Krishna. To please them by reuniting them with their beloved, Yogamaya transformed them into the women of Dwarka. They now think their previous existence in Braja to be like a long dream, and they think of his visit and their own journey to Kurukshetra to be only stories. Aside from these 16,108, there are other gopis also. Why should I reveal this secret? Openly, he says, Has King Bhishmaka made his decision? Purnamasi replies, He wants to give Chandravali to Krishna, the king of the Yadus. Narada Muni says, Then why are you so upset? Purnamasi replies, If Rukmi opposes, what can poor Bhishmaka do? Narada Muni says, To whom does Rukmi wish to give Chandravali? Purnamasi says he wants to fulfill the desire of Chedi's king Shishupal and give her to him. Narada Muni asks, How did he learn of Shishupal's desire? Purnamasi replies, By Shishupal sending this letter in verse to Rukmini. Narada Muni says, Please read it. Purnamasi reads the letter. May your love for youthful Shishupal, who is the best of kings, and whose great virtues delight his father Damagosha, awaken. Narada Muni asks, What did Rukmini decide? Purnamasi answers, She changed 5 words and sent the letter back. It now said, "I have fallen in love with a young Gopa who is the son of a cowherd. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. Hearing of his transcendental qualities at once fills the heart with transcendental bliss." Narada Muni asks, Then? Purnamasi replies, "Reading this letter and afraid that Krishna might come, Prince Sisupal brought many demoniac kings to Kundina city. After consulting with me, the distraught girl Rukmini sent a Brahmin named Sunanda with a letter to Krishna." Narada Muni asks, "What did it say?" Purnamasi replies, "O dark cloud of Krishna, with the sound of your thunder, please quickly chase away these enemy Rajahamsa swans and then sprinkle your nectar rain on this thirsty Chandrakravati bird." Note, Rajahamsa swans are frightened by thunder, but Chandrakravati birds delight in the monsoon rains. Narada Muni asks, "The Brahmin messenger hasn't returned?" Purnamasi replies, "Yes, fate is kind to Rukmini." Narada Muni, smiling, says, "Your powers fill the entire world with wonder. Why did you not make Rukmi favorable?" Purnamasi replies, "The Madhvika liquor of my powers only made Rukmi doubly intoxicated. Praying to get Chedi's King Shushupala as his brother-in-law, Rukmi worshipped the family deity Chandrabhaga with many Agnihotra yagyas and other ceremonies. Then the goddess granted his request." Note, the statement is ambiguous. If Pracha di Desha is taken as one word instead of two, the meaning is, "the goddess refused his request." Narada Muni asks, "How was that?" Purnamasi replies, "The goddess appeared before Rukmi and said, 'Maharaja Sura's grandson who, born with 4 arms, filled his mother with wonder, will marry your virtuous daughter Rukmini.'" Narada, smiling, replies, "You should know that goddess Parvati cheated the wicked Rukmi with these words." Purnamasi said, "Lord, how did she cheat him? Krishna is now far away. Garuda is on the other side of the ocean. Kundina city is polluted by a host of demons. And Rukmini is surrounded by guards as ferocious as snakes, eager to bite anyone who comes near." Sunanda enters and says, "Noble lady, Krishna is not far from Vidarbha city." Purnamasi blissfully says, "Ah, Sunanda, welcome, you bring a message." Sunanda says, "What is the use of welcoming me? Fate is blind to me. My message carrying is a failure." Purnamasi, frightened, asks, "Why?" Sunanda says, "Read this letter from Krishna, who is carried by Garuda." Narada Muni reads the letter. The letter says, "The black cloud of Krishna brings happiness to the Sikini birds who gaze at him from the corners of their dark eyes. He delights the fragrant Sikini birds of Vrindavan forest." Purnamasi says, "Huh, Krishna doesn't know she is Chandravali." Narada Muni says, "Sunanda, why did you not tell him?" Sunanda says, "Who is Chandravali?" Purnamasi says, "Embarrassed before the demon kings, Rukmi hid the fact that his sister had lived in Gokula village and was named Chandravali." Sunanda says, "Rukmi hid this from even his friends? How was a person like me to know it?" Purnamasi says, "Then why does Krishna, the master of Garuda, now decorate Vidarbha with his presence?" Sunanda says, "Because of the beautiful invitation of the 2 devotees, Krata and Kajsaka." Purnamasi says, "Why did these 2 kings invite him?" Sunanda replies, "Lord Brahma ordered them. O Krata and Kashyapa, auspiciousness unto you both. You are so powerful that no king can transgress your order. The 2 of you, accompanied by all pure-hearted kings, should jubilantly crown Krishna emperor of the entire world in a sacred coronation ceremony." Purnamasi says, "By good fortune, I will see this great, great festival." Sunanda says, "Noble lady, it was already done." Purnamasi asks, "How was it?" Sunanda answers, "Lord Krishna, who was always victorious over the demons, sat on a great, beautiful jeweled throne. As Lord Shiva and the other jubilant demigods repeatedly glorified him with prayers, all the kings performed the ritual bathing ceremony with glistening water pots. In this way, Lord Krishna, who is always victorious over the demons, was crowned the emperor of all kings. Narada Muni says, Lord Brahma answered Mount Vinja's prayer, that is, that Krishna would become his son-in-law. Purnamasi says, Lord, order me, and I will go to get Krishna so that he can learn the truth. Kanchuki, tossing the curtain aside, enters. She says, Noble lady, the king of Vidarbha sends this message. I requested the two kings, Krata and Kashyapa, to ask Lord Krishna, the king of all kings, to kidnap Rukmini. Today, along with you, I wish to see the sacred feet of Lord Krishna. Purnamasi says, Lord, it is now accomplished. Please give me permission to go now. And then she exits with both of them. A voice from behind the scenes says, Even in the hearts of the renowned sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not place the slightest ray of light from the tip of his toenails. How wonderful is it that the merciful Lord decorates my auspicious couch and allows a person like me to massage his lotus feet with flower bud hands. Narada says, These are the prayers of Krata and Kashyapa. The sound of the conch shell is heard from behind the scenes. Narada, gazing with happiness, says, All glories to Lord Krishna, who grasping the conch shell with both hands, placing it to his lotus mouth, blowing it, and remembering how he once drank the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, becomes stunned and motionless. Looking again, he says, Followed by Krata and Kashyapa, he is coming here. Then he says, The moonlight of the moving Kaustubha jewel shining, his forearms blended with the friendship of the Komadiki club, Sudarshana chakra, Panchajanya conchal and lotus flower, and his form decorated with glistening ornaments. Lord Krishna, who defeated Kamsa, and who is now accompanied by Garuda, reminds me of his opulence in Vaikuntha. Now I will ascend into the sky and watch the Lord's pastimes from there. Then he exits. Lord Krishna enters. Krishna says, O kings, watered by the auspicious streams of nectar in my coronation, the splendid vine of your fame has grown beyond the garden of the demigods and entered the spiritual world, where it now blossoms with many flowers to decorate the thoughts of the goddess of fortune. The two kings with humbleness say, As many atoms pass through an open window, so a great host of universes passes through a single pore of your body. O Almighty Lord, how can we actually glorify you? Our praises are like glorifying an emperor by calling him a wonderful village chief. Your glories fill us with wonder. Krishna says, O great kings, I am very pleased with you. Please ask some benediction from me. The two kings said, O Lord, although we have heard from Garuda that poor Rukmini has not performed any austerities to attain the good fortune of serving you directly, please be merciful to her. Please don't be a cause of fear for her. Krishna asks, What kind of mercy? The two kings reply, Defeat Jarasandha and the other demon kings and take her from Kundina city. Do it today when she leaves the palace to worship goddess Chandrabhaga Durga. Krishna says, Kings, I will kidnap her. Her destiny will be fulfilled. The two kings offer their respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna and then exit. A voice from behind the scenes says, O Krishna, when the great sage Narada was chanting your glories and playing the veena, the bluish line on the neck of Lord Shiva disappeared. Upon seeing this, Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, suspected Lord Shiva of being someone else disguised as her husband, and out of fear, she immediately left his company. Upon hearing the chanting of Krishna's name, Lord Balaram saw that his dress had become white, although he was generally accustomed to a bluish dress. And the cowherd girls saw that all the water of the Yamuna River turned into milk, so they began to churn it into butter. Suparna says, This is Narada offering prayers from the sky. Krishna says, O friend, O king of the birds, look, look, as if they were the expanded hoods of the great serpent Takshaka, the white parasols of the demon kings cover the clouds. Seeing these parasols from far away, and thinking the great serpent has come, the universes are now trembling in fear. Suparna says, The These serpent-hooded parasols will not be able to defend themselves from even a single playful blow of the wing of this insignificant servant Garuda. Let my friend the Sudarshan Chakra, who burns like the great fire at the end of the Kalpa, stay far away. I will take care of this myself. A voice from behind the scenes says, Rukmini, the princess of Kundina, is a perfect match for lotus-eyed Krishna. Oh, friend, cruel fate is not friendly to her. Suparna says, this is the lamentation of the women in Kundina city. A voice from behind the scenes says, what is the dull-witted son of Maharaj Damagosh in comparison to beautiful Rukmini? A splendid garland of newly blossomed Malika flowers should not be placed around the neck of a donkey. Suparna says, this flower forest garland will decorate the neck that holds the Kastuba gem. It will decorate no other neck. A voice from behind the scenes says, all glories to Lord Krishna, the splendid moon risen from the ocean of the Yadu dynasty. He is a boundless treasure house of the art of attracting all young girls. When even soldiers in battle glimpse him far away in the palace, they tremble with amorous desire and become at once transformed into women. Krishna, glancing to the left, says, is this the poet Moti Kachukut from Mathura reciting a Bhogavali poem? Again, from behind the scenes, a voice says, all glories to Krishna's handsome chest, more splendid than a necklace of glittering sapphires, dark as a young tamal tree, decorated with thick kumkum, and playfully and eternally glistening as a monsoon cloud decorated with bunches of blossoming stars and splendid with a stationary lightning flash. Krishna, perplexed, says, O dear Radha, O desire vine of the Vrindavan forest, O friend of Vishakha, where are you now? He trembles and leans against Suparna. Suparna, aside, says, even a person like me will drown in the difficult-to-approach shore of the deep ocean of Lord Krishna's pastimes. What ordinary person will understand it? Openly, he says, O Lord, please be calm. Please calm down. Krishna then becomes calm and sighs. And then a voice from behind the scenes says, holding Daitreya by the hand, surrounded by the excited elderly Brahmana ladies, and also surrounded at some distance by many soldiers, Rukmini, the princess of Vidarbha, is now going to the temple of the goddess Parvati. Krishna says, O friend Suparna, the villain Rukmini has placed guards all around Durga's temple. Come, let us enter the temple disguised as dancers. Then they exit. As described, Chandravali enters. Chandravali says, O Madhavi, I have heard that my brother has started a sacrifice of 10 million offerings of butter to worship the goddess Bhadrakali. Madhavi answers, O princess, the Brahmin ladies say that. Chandravali aside says, I have heard of this deep lake of butter. Now I will go see it. Madhavi says, princess, why did the Supreme Person Lord Krishna, who loves you, not ask to marry you? Chandravali in Sanskrit says, my brother has now become my enemy. The auspicious goddess Durga ignores me and my beloved Lord Krishna has completely forgotten me. O wicked, cruel fate, everything has gone against me. Madhavi says, let us enter the temple and pray to goddess Chandrabhaga Durga. Chandravali says, noble Bhargavi, bow down before goddess Chandrabhaga. Bhargavi says, goddess Chandrabhaga, please make the princess of Vidarbha happy by giving her the benediction she desires. Note, the word vara may also mean husband. Interpreted in this way, the phrase may read, by giving her the husband she desires. Chandravali complains in Sanskrit, O goddess, since my childhood I have worshipped you with great faith and ardent devotion in order to attain Lord Krishna. Now please immediately give me the result of my worship. Out of kindness, please direct me on the path that leads to Lord Krishna. Madhavi says, look, look, goddess Rudrani is suddenly smiling with a very merciful expression. Chandravali says, noble Bhargavi, you stay here and pray to goddess Saravani Durga, and I will go to the pond of butter and circumambulate the sacred fire. Disguised as dancers, Krishna and Suparna enter. Krishna says, When I was a coward boy, I would often amuse myself by dancing. That art of dancing has now become the expert counselor who has taught us how to enter this great fortress. Suparna says, O Lord, our disguise as dancers covers the eyes of our enemies and delights the eyes of all the women here. Krishna says, Friend, greatest of all birds, look, there are many auspicious omens. Suparna says, The goddess of victory, whose face is like a glorious moon, whose eyes are like beautiful lotus flowers, and who is earnestly glorified by the great sages in the heavenly planets, has abandoned Chetty's king Shishupal and his royal allies, and, O crusher of the Mura demon, is now eager to approach you. Krishna says, Friend, look, look! The great heroes never defeated in battle roar as lions. The singers and musicians make a great sound, and the best of the brahmanas loudly recite many prayers. This city of Kundina is deafening the entire country. Suparna, looking ahead, says, Rukmini, the daughter of the king of Kundina, is now leaving the temple of Mridani, Durga. Krishna says, This girl is the most beautiful. She eclipses the beauty of other girls. They no longer seem beautiful in comparison to her. He turns his face. Friend, bring this girl and the two kings, Kruta and Kaishika, here on the tip of your wing. Suparna, gazing in wonder, says, Pretending to appear from the ocean of milk churned by the demigods, Goddess Lakshmi took birth from the ocean of beauty. Although Lakshmi is exquisitely beautiful and opulent, and although she eternally fills all eyes with wonder, she is not as beautiful as Princess Rukmini. Krishna says, Friend, it is so. But what does it matter? Krishna is not enchanted by mere beauty. Chandravali says, Madhavi, I request you, please take care of the young Bakula tree I planted with a seed from Vrindavan. Note, Rukmini here hints that she wishes to commit suicide because she cannot attain Krishna. She is concerned that her pet tree will be protected after she is dead and she can no longer care for it. Madhavi says, Princess, calm down, calm down. Wait for the messenger Sunanda. The goddess of night is only half come. Chandravali says, Fool, by staying in the palace, I cannot attain that auspicious nectar lake of immortality. Note, the lake of immortality here is the sacrificial fire. Rukmini wants to commit suicide by jumping into that fire. Shedding tears, she says in Sanskrit, I was never able to really understand you. Still, you mercifully accepted me in Brajabhumi. Why have you now given up my company and gone to another country? O Krishna, O treasure house of all transcendental qualities, why have you forgotten me? A tumultuous sound comes from behind the scenes. Krishna says, The women in the city are making a tumultuous sound. Suparna says, Lord, look, look! Up there are the faces of doe-eyed women that climb to the palace roof to see you. Lotus-eyed one, Chandravali, is there among them. Krishna says with longing, O dear Chandravali, O friend of Padma, how have I been so cruel to forget you? Today, when I return to Dwarka, I will send messengers to find you. Chandravali says, When I see this lake of burning butter, I become happy. Krishna with doubt says, Friend, why am I now sprinkled by a stream of tinkling sounds I've heard somewhere before? Suparna says, As I've told you, my lord, in all the three worlds, I do not see anyone but you who can purchase the priceless jewel of this beautiful girl. Krishna says, Let me look at her. He looks from the corner of his eyes. Ah! How is it that this girl is decorated with the same charming sweetness borne by the gopis who enjoy pastimes in Gokula? How is it that this girl maddens my heart? He again glances with love. Ah, she is my beloved. Agitated, he says, This host of moons that melts the Chandrakanta jewel of my heart brings great tidal waves to the ocean of my love. Makes the lotus flowers in my eyes blossom with happiness and makes the small plants of my body's hair stand up with joy. She is Chandravali. Today I've attained my Chandravali. Note, the moon makes Chandrakanta jewels melt, the ocean become filled with turbulent waves, lotus flowers blossom, and small plants sprout. Krishna says, I will go close and gaze at her beauty, and then he walks close to her. Madhavi, seeing Krishna, says to herself, From whence has this king of dancers who is more handsome than all the men in the three worlds come? Chandravali says, O fire god, please take this person whose only shelter is Krishna to the two lotus feet of Krishna who is more handsome than millions of cupids. She bows down to offer respects to the fire. O noble Purnamasi, why have you come here? Krishna unhappily says to himself, Alas, she has decided to commit suicide by jumping into the fire. Now she is circumambulating the fire. I will go to her and stop her by holding her in my arms. Chandravali, agitated, sheds a stream of tears. Oh, Sister Radha, we will never meet again. Oh, my dear Padma, where have you gone? Oh, Mother Yashoda, O Queen of Gokula, I will never see you again. Oh, Lord of my life, O Krishna. She becomes overwhelmed and her voice becomes choked up. And then she says, I pray that birth after birth my eyes may attain Krishna's lotus face filled with the honey of his gentle smile and decorated with the beauty of his graceful shark-shaped earrings. Krishna hastily embraces her on the neck and says, Doe-eyed girl, do not set the universes on fire. Madhavi says angrily, Bold, impudent, young dancer, let go of this great princess. Krishna in tears says, O moon-faced girl, this person clinging to your neck loves you. Unable to attain him, you thought your beautiful body worthless as a blade of grass. O queen of my life, be merciful to me. Please stop, don't enter the fire. I am your lover. This tears my chest apart with fear. Chandravali, not hearing, says, Madhavi, let go, let go. Don't make me suffer like this. There are so many obstacles now. She pulls a ring from her finger. Place this jewel ring on the pathway of the Supreme Person's eyes. She places the ring on Krishna's finger. Filled with doubt, she says to herself, This hand is very hard to touch. She wipes away streams of tears. She stares at him and cries out, The master of my life embraces me and speaks to me. Fainting with happiness, she falls to the ground. Madhavi Blissful says, Ah, the actions of destiny are full of wonder. Followed by Bhishmaka, Purnamasi enters. Purnamasi says, Beautiful Chandravali has searched for her charming, unconquerable lover Krishna who pushes away all kinds of suffering and whose feet are as handsome as blossoming lotus flowers. Finding him, she has fainted. She is like a saparika fish wriggling on the dry land who has suddenly found a large reservoir of water. She approaches them and says, Purnamasi, the mother of Sandamani Muni, is very happy that you have attained the mercy of Krishna. Rise up, and with both arms she picks her up. Chandravali looks ahead and then says to herself, Why has my father, the king of Vidarbha, come here? Embarrassed, she places Purnamasi between her father and herself. Krishna with wonder says, Noble lady, how have you come here? Purnamasi replies, Krishna, I have come here because I love Chandravali. Bhishmaka with respect says, Jambavan unknowingly did me a great favor when he brought my daughter here from another place. For now you, the Supreme Lord, whose lotus feet the great sages place within their hearts, will become my daughter's husband. Purnamasi speaks, O King of Kundina, in truth, you are the crest jewel of pious men. Now, Chandravali, the moonlight that makes the lotus of your dynasty blossom with glory should be given to Lord Krishna, the King of Kings. Krishna, aside, says, Chandravali is Radha's sister. By accepting Chandravali without also accepting Radha, who is more dear to me than my own life, my heart does not offend Radha. Bhishmaka humbly speaks, O husband of the goddess of fortune, my girl's relatives have a request that I will now place before you. Please agree that without my daughter's permission, you will not accept the hand of any other girl. Krishna glances at the face of Purnamasi. Purnamasi says, Krishna, of all the girls of Gokula, bungling fate has left only Chandravali alive. In making this promise, what is the loss? Krishna says, King, so be it. Suparna says, King, please listen. To attain the association of my friend Krishna, Rukmini, the princess of Vidarbha, very humbly prayed to Lord Narayan, the husband of goddess Lakshmi. O moon among kings, for this reason you should abandon this terrible demand. Bhishmaka says, so be it. Respectfully approaching the Lord, he says, O Lord, kindly accept this girl as your maidservant. And he gives him Chandravali. Krishna, respectfully accepting, says, O King, give me permission that I may now leave for Dwarka. He then exits with his associates. A voice from behind the scenes says, Horses! Horses! Chariots! Chariots! Elephants! Elephants! My quiver! My quiver! My bow! My bow! My sword! My sword! How terrible! How terrible! Hurry! Hurry! A lusty coward has kidnapped her! Kidnap the princess! Bhishmaka says, why are the kings running about and shouting? He glances behind the scenes. Why has Balaram come with the armies of the Yadu dynasty? Listening, Bhishmaka smiles. A voice from behind the scenes says, Oh, wretched clowns disguised as kings, in what hole are you hiding? I can crush the entire universe into pieces, and Lord Krishna will not be angry with me. Oh, pet deer of Sachi, why do you laugh so loudly? The crest jewel of your pride is about to fall before Balaram. Again a voice from behind the scenes says, Crooked Dantavakra cries in fear. The cowardly jackal Jarasandha is speechless. He turns his chariot and flees. Lord Krishna raises his sangha bow, laughs, and kills his enemies in a ferocious battle with merciless kings. Bhishmaka, very blissful, says, Now my anxiety is gone. A voice from behind the scenes says, Binding him with torn cloth and half-shaving his head, Krishna, who is expert in battle, mocks the prince of Kundina. Bhishmaka, anxious, says, This son, who is the black spot of our family, should now be consoled so that the proud fellow will not die of shame. He exits, and everyone exits.
Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesa swabhava